Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 272, recorded on October 3rd, 2015. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome, and I'm just so excited we're all here today. Let's hug.
I don't think Skype has that. Can we
That's
do that?
Stupid.
I don't think we can do that through Skype.
Microsoft, upgrade Skype.
That'll be in the next upgrade.
Yeah.
It'll make everything completely unusable, but Skype hug. That'll
and that'll be enough.
Yeah. And Adam Christensen is here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
Good.
Good.
Hanging in there. Saturday.
Hanging in there. Okay, cool. This show is sponsored by GetSynced, the leading Mac-friendly alternative to Exchange, Office 365, and Gmail. Check them out at GetSynced.com. We'll talk about them later on in the show. And the first thing to talk about today is that Apple broke all their records with the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus, which is kind of crazy. 13 million iPhones were sold in the launch weekend.
It always helps when you each year add more countries that you sell
this
into
is like
on launch
China.
Day.
Yes, this is true. Yeah, so this is some fun numbers that they produce for us all in that way. Yeah, but I mean, so what do you think is driving this other than
more countries?
More countries. Do you think that this was a more popular upgrade than the 6 just in the minds of the consumers because
no.
for any reason? No. Do you think it was less popular?
No, I think it was in line.
Yeah.
And I think if China hadn't been in this launch, which it was not for the 6, I think we would have seen flat numbers year over year.
Similar year over year numbers, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Yeah, because it was, what, 10 million?
Yeah, it was about 10 million.
10 million
but
last
I mean,
year.
This is how it goes for a product when it becomes this mature. And, you know, it's not like Apple is breaking into new consumers. That was last year when they went to the bigger phone. You had, you know, actually reaching consumers who wanted a larger phone, but Apple didn't have an offering for. Now they have all the sizes covered, so it's just sort of like what is there to drive sales here? I mean, you've got some things like 3D touch and live photos that maybe some techie people went for, but in general,
people who wanted a pink phone.
Yeah, the pink, I guess.
Yeah. Pink is a thing for some people.
I've seen a lot of pink. I've seen a lot of the rose gold, surprisingly.
That's because people like the new and shiny. It was the same thing when Apple, you know, remember when Apple did the gold model.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I remember when they did space gray.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, best color ever.
Yeah. Yep. I still like the 3G, the white 3G when they came out with that. It was like a bar of soap. It was fun.
It was.
Have you guys noticed? Have you tried throwing your iPhones, your new iPhones into like a toilet or a puddle to see how waterproof it is?
No, thank you.
No, but I was going to ask if I could borrow yours, Michael.
I don't have a new one, so it's not going to work.
Oh, this isn't going to end well.
No. Apparently, depth has something to do with how well it will survive.
That makes perfect sense. Like. Yeah. Yeah. So the tests, there have been a number of videos of people. The ones,
dunking.
The first ones that I saw and that were the most impressive were those of people putting phones in little bowls of water, basically a few inches of water. And
iPhone teabagging. Wait.
No, there's no tea in there, Adam.
Well, I meant you dip it like you would a teabag, you know, in
I totally
a shallow thing of water.
Yeah, but you leave it there.
I don't what did you think?
It's sun tea.
You know.
Anyway, teabagging. let's get off that. So, there were some side by sides, one with like a Samsung phone, one with the 6S, and they just hung out in there. They're just hanging, no problem being in the water.
Playing video for like an hour.
Yeah. And then there was a dude who was just like, all right, we're going to throw this in the pool. He threw it in a little net so he could pick it back up.
And it didn't go as well.
Did not go well. I wonder how many feet.
3 feet, I think I had read, or approximately 3 feet. I mean, that's the shallow end of most pools.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. The more water, the more massive water, the more pressure.
More pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, I think the end result is they seem to be more water resistant than prior models.
And it's good.
Which is nice.
Because for the most part...
They're not waterproof, though.
It's probably going to be a situation where, you know, you walk into the pool and you immediately realize, oh, crap. You know, it's in my pocket. You run out.
That's how my 5S died.
You just kind of, would you jump in the pool or something like that?
Yeah, I jumped in the pool. I was floating around.
I don't know if that would have saved it in that situation. If you jumped in and you hung out for a little bit.
I was actually in like a floating thing, so I wasn't that deep.
Yeah, I mean,
it was
I might
just in my pocket and I realized, oh, I've done something horribly wrong here.
Mm-hmm. Or I think in many more cases, there are the, you know, the, either dropping it in a bowl of soup or in, you know, the toilet.
I'm guessing the toilet is the most common
place
an iPhone gets dunked.
That's where my phone was dunked when mine died. The one time that I killed an iPhone accidentally was when I dropped it in the toilet.
It's a fresh bowl.
It was a fresh bowl, thank goodness. It was a fresh bowl, and it didn't trip the water sensors somehow. So I just told him, hey, I don't know what happened. I was updating, and now it won't turn back on.
Yeah, I just kicked in one of my AppleCare Plus.
Yeah, so we didn't mention the fact that AppleCare Plus has increased again in price. Why? What's the deal?
More pricey parts.
More pricey parts.
Profit.
By a whopping $14.
It's profit, Michael.
Yep. My guess is that they looked at how much it was costing them to do all the repairs, because they can, of course, they can watch this over time. Mm. And everyone that buys AppleCare, what we're doing is we're betting we're going to ruin our phone. Apple is betting we're not. So what they have to do is figure out where the balance is between all of us paying into AppleCare for the people that are actually going to take advantage of the service.
Yeah.
It's all insurance.
It was probably a very basic equation.
Just like insurance.
I do think part of it this time around, too, though, is you've got the 3D touch display, which is probably more expensive. And display is the most common thing that people break.
Sure. Yeah. The cost estimate was about $14, right? Mm-hmm. $14 more.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, that would sound reasonable.
I think it was about $14 more for the iPhone.
And they took it up about $20, right? It's about $20 more for the AppleCare. $129, is that right?
I think they increased both the price of AppleCare and the
by $20 on each side. About $20 on each side, I think.
Yeah, the cost of the deductible.
I think it was at $99 before, so maybe it was $30 because it's $129.
Okay, let's see. I'm gonna.
Was it $99? For some reason, I had $119 stuck in my head.
Was it $119?
Why can I not find this in the?
It's hard to find historic data like that.
Apple Store. Why can't I just search for Apple Store? Apple Care.
Well, you could just. Yeah, I think it's because it's still the same price on the iPhone 6, right? It's still the old pricing, or did they up it across the board?
Okay, here we go. AppleCare Plus for 6S, it's $130. For the 6, it was $100.
So it was $99, right?
And then the repair is...
It was $79, and it's now $99. It's my guess.
It's now $99?
Yes.
Here we go. Here we go. Accidental, it was $79, now $99.
Yeah, what I just said.
So $50 in total, $30 on one, $20 on the other side. So,
you know, and I do think some of it's just pure profit taking. It's how much can we get people to pay?
Sure.
And I think part of the kick up too is because they knew many people were going to take advantage of the new Apple payment plan where the more expensive AppleCare is baked in. So again, more profit.
Yeah.
Tim Cook is no dummy.
No, well, no, he's not.
Yeah, they don't have billions of dollars in the bank, hundreds of billions of dollars in the bank for no reason.
Yeah, wasn't he
CFO?
Not quite.
No, he wasn't CFO. He was something else. But it would have been nicer if they had the 30 on the accidental repair side. They added the 30 and added the 20 on the upfront. Because the reason I got my AppleCare is because I had a situation with my iPhone 4 where I typically keep an iPhone for 2 years. And I, at some point, the home button just started crapping out. And it wasn't an issue of the actual button. It was the logic board itself. And in the end, I didn't have AppleCare on it. And had I had AppleCare, I could have just handed it over and they would have fixed it for me.
Well, you have to remember the out of warranty replacement coverage thing too, and you have to sort of balance that to the type of person you are, how often you're going to replace your phone, mm-hmm. And those sorts of things. So, you know, I've been buying iPhones since day one and iPads since day one. In all of those years, I've had to replace 2 iPhones and 1 iPad.
Yeah.
And it was really just the screen on one of the iPhones, which I think even just the repair cost for that was only like 100 and some odd bucks, so like $130 or something like that.
So for iPhone 6, it's $109 for just the upfront screen repair. $129 for iPhone 6 through, or 5 through 6, and then $150 for the 6S Plus.
Yeah, so really, mathematically, I'm, at this point,
you're basically just buying
be better
a screen
off not front. Buying the AppleCare.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
But I do now, because I had the one incident where I left my iPad and my iPhone on the top roof of the car, and that was expensive all
that was
at once.
That was a sad, ugly day.
And it was expensive all at once to do all the repair, but I mean, if you've got the money in the bank, if you're the type of person that saves, you know, saves money and has the ability to do that, you may or may not be better off not getting it.
Yeah, and it looks like the just general repair, the quote unquote other repairs, out of warranty cost is, I think this is probably a maximum. So if it's
those are replacement costs. Those are full replacement costs.
This is a full replacement
cost. Basically, you pay that and they give you a new device.
Okay, the full replacement cost.
Because I had to do that with my iPad.
For the 6S and the 6 is $300. So interestingly enough, they have not raised the price of the out-of-warranty full replacement.
The interesting thing about full replacement too is they don't adjust it based on the original device. So it's like I had a 128 gigabyte iPad, and that was the same price as if I would have had a 16 gigabyte iPad.
I wonder who's getting the better deal there.
But I mean, the point is, you've got to factor all of these things in when you're making that buying decision. So a lot of people will ask me, should I get the AppleCare? Should I not get the AppleCare? And it's like, that's a much more nuanced.
It depends.
That's a really nuanced question. So what
you don't realize it, but it is.
Did you get AppleCare?
I do now, but it's probably if I was a financial person or I talked to a financial planner, he'd be like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, on Macs, it's a different situation. I actually just got AppleCare on my for my Retina.
I've always got it on every Mac because of the
totally makes LCD. Sense.
Yeah.
It, even if you don't need it for anything else, if you have a display issue, that AppleCare paid for itself right there.
Yeah. LA Computer Company, they have deals, right?
Yeah, and people will write in and they'll say, you know, there's third party services. You don't have to use Apple's. There's other plans that you can get. I think some of them are a little less convenient because you can't just walk into the Apple store and you've got to, fill out forms.
Yeah, Apple's way more, they do a lot more for less, it seems like.
You're paying for a convenience factor there, though. I mean, so if you're just looking for the best deal, I don't think AppleCare is the best deal on accidental. And if it's just accidental coverage, if you're not talking about just extending the other things that AppleCare coverage brings.
Yeah, you get some more convenience factors. So getting back to the water thing, as far as, so iFixit decided to revisit their teardown to figure out what the deal is with this water resistance. And they found something, basically a gasket that's there on the 6S, the S models, not the previous version. Something that appears to them that Apple spent a lot of time revising the design of the case in order to make this a little bit more waterproof.
Weren't there also some things around some of the ports and things like that?
The connect. I don't know about the ports, but around the connectors on the logic board, there are quite a few seal type things.
So it's going to slow water seepage down, basically.
Yes, 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 yes.
But it's not going to stop it.
Nope, it's not. As we found,
but
it's not.
Still, knowing that if you drop your iPhone into the sink or into a puddle and you can reach down and pull it right back out and you're okay.
Yeah, you might even be able to shower with your iPhone, but don't do that. Let's
I also think, too, I mean, I think there's been a lot of issues with people, like if you are a skier, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or you're in, you know, those type of environments where there's a lot of, you know, where your clothing can get wet and just get saturated.
Yeah, you're out jogging, it starts really raining, something like that. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, skiing and hiking, those are both times when I do worry about water damage to my iPhone.
Now, you got to wonder, ultimately, nobody's, or at least I've not seen anything about the water contact indicators. I wonder if they're placed in the same way.
Rid of those. I thought they got rid of those a while back.
I don't know.
Because they
were getting all those false positives.
Yeah. And people were getting really peeved.
Hmm. Don't know. I'll have to look into it.
They don't look in my... I haven't noticed them the last few years, like, doing the thing that they used to do where they whip out the little flashlight and they look in the headphone port.
I haven't noticed. And
that anymore.
The last time I had an issue with my phone, before they replaced it, they took it into the back to open it up to look at it.
Yeah, they did that for one of my devices recently, too.
And I wonder if that was to see maybe perhaps an interior?
They may also be looking for third-party repairs, like if you went to iCracked or somebody else.
If you did that thing where you you replaced the front of your iPhone 4, the black panels with white panels that you got from a third party.
Anyone would ever do that, Michael.
Then your camera broke and it was totally unrelated to that. So you just decided to put the black stuff back so you could get a replacement. And then you screwed up the digitizer cable. You tore the digitizer cable so it wouldn't work. And then you just brought it to them and you said, I don't know what happened. And they just replaced it. If you had a situation like that,
Has this hypothetical person done said thing?
And I don't know this person.
We've heard about two incidents on this singular episode.
The toilet? The toilet was me. I don't know who did this other thing. I've never heard of this before. I don't know what happened.
But yeah, you just made this hypothetical situation.
I don't know what happened is a really good thing to say at AppleCare. I think people understand that already.
Unlike
I don't think
me,
I'm saying anything.
I always have had good luck just being honest.
Play dumb. Oh, you don't play dumb.
No, I always tell them exactly what happened. I've had more incidents, because I talk about this a lot on my show, and I have people that have emailed me to say, well, I tried to fool them, and they caught me. And I get more incidents of them, people getting better service when they say, I did this stupid thing. Here's what happened.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Yes. So, and especially
the Apple person looks at them and goes, oh, okay, well, we'll replace it this time. Or I don't know that they're doing that as much anymore. It used to be easier in the old days.
Well, and that's another reason why AppleCare is a good option. Because if you have AppleCare, they see, okay, you've already given us some money. Maybe we'll let it slide.
I'm giggling because I think I called up AppleCare recently and the phone person's like, you've had 41 products or 60, whatever. She like quoted how many products I had registered over the years with Apple.
Oh, they know that? So what if you delete them from your little support profile?
Then they probably don't.
Oh, well, maybe I shouldn't do that. I delete them only because they're things that I've sold to people.
Right.
And it just doesn't seem right to leave them in there.
I think their history goes back.
It probably does.
I think she could see more things because I didn't have that many in my support profile, but I think she can see stuff going all the way back to...
Likely. And for what it's worth, there are rumors already via Maka Takara, but I don't think they get this from Weibo. I don't know. I guess it's a credible, somewhat fairly, maybe a little bit
it's
credible
Chinese
place.
Twitter, basically.
It's Chinese, okay.
Chinese Twitter.
Yep. So they heard from Chinese Twitter that the...
somebody told me it's really more than that. It's like the big news kind of social media site in China.
There's a tiny bit of credibility to the rumor. And I think that the gaskets in the iPhone 6S lend to the fact or the rumor that the iPhone 7 is rumored to be waterproof. And I would say, I would imagine waterproof in the sense that the Apple Watch is waterproof.
You know what?
Yeah, you're not going to go diving with your iPhone.
In my opinion, in this day and age, because you have things like Liquipel and all these technologies mm-hmm. that can enable this to happen, I'm surprised that, especially on higher end, more expensive devices, that it's just not everybody. Just this is how we make these things.
I am too. We've been talking about this over the years. It's been rumored that we're going to see waterproofing, maybe even to the 5S.
I'd pay whatever the cost is. You know, if it's $10 more, then charge me $10 more and go. It's waterproof.
I think every human on the planet
would. Awesome.
I think everybody would.
My dad wouldn't, but that's my dad.
Okay.
But, I mean, they're going to bake it into the cost anyway, and you're not going to know, so.
Yeah.
I think it's a great selling feature.
They also say that it may adopt a non-metallic enclosure.
Okay, here's why they won't do it, though. They would sell way less AppleCare.
Not for me. I don't have my AppleCare.
They would sell a percentage less, I'm telling you.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure they're running
their
equations.
And again, that's pure profit. Mostly in that.
All right.
Yeah, that's true. But going back to a plastic case, no.
I don't see them going back to plastic. I'm guessing maybe adamantium?
They tried to bring it back. Look what happened. They tried to bring the plastic back.
And now the 5C has been discontinued.
Well, the 5C was extremely, extremely popular, though.
Mrs. Robinson, the future is not in plastics.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think that for the flagship iPhone that they're going to move away from... I don't think they're going to go to plastic. Again, because it just does not seem
getting rid of the smaller screen sizes anyhow, so it'll just be the 6 and 6S sizes.
Sure.
Look at products from other smartphone makers that use plastic at those sizes.
Yeah, they're cracky.
Yeah, Apple's not going to do that.
And plastic is not nearly as recyclable.
That's a good point, too.
So... All right. For those of you who wanted to perhaps downgrade to iOS 8 after playing with iOS 9, your chance is up because Apple is no longer signing iOS 8.4.1. They're also not signing iOS 9 either, which is kind of the standard trend for.
How does that work if you have to restore an existing device that you haven't upgraded?
You are restoring now to iOS 9.01 or 9.02.
Seriously?
Yes.
So if someone does not want to upgrade and they now have an issue with their phone and they want to restore it,
there's
and restore
nothing
from
you
backup,
can do. Nothing you can do other than nuke. Although the one thing that may fix
that,
it.
Is that true?
It's completely true. The one thing that you can do. So if you're having an issue in that situation, right? The likelihood that something has happened to the read-only directory structure of the OS is very low. So doing an erase all content and settings may save your bacon. So you could do one. I would recommend doing an erase all content and settings first and see if the problem goes away. because you will not be able to restore to anything other than what they're signing, regardless of what version you're on now.
Erase all content and settings. It's going to get rid of all your data.
It will. You would then be restoring. I mean, if you're doing a restore because you have a problem, you're probably erasing the stuff on your phone anyway, right?
Well, yeah, but then you restore from backup and you get all your stuff back.
Yeah, right. And hopefully whatever was weird is not weird anymore.
Correct.
Yeah.
But I'm saying in that scenario, the minute I say erase and I start the restore, it's going to install iOS 9.01 on my device. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is if you press the restore button on iTunes,
yes,
that will erase it. If you press the erase all content and settings button, it just erases the user partition.
No, I get that. But that's not putting an OS back. You know, that's not really getting rid of everything, is mm-hmm. it? I mean, it's getting rid of everything, but then your host.
Mm-hmm.
My point is that I can't, I can no longer, if I want to, because I know people have older devices that maybe don't run iOS 9 as well.
Okay,
but are still supported on iOS 9, right?
Yeah. So if it's supported in iOS 9, it will only restore to that. If it's not supported on iOS 9, those devices are still being signed for.
Right, no, I get that part, but that still stinks.
It does stink. It really sucks. And I don't understand why Apple is doing that anymore. I guess
it's probably a support thing.
So the workaround, I would imagine, is you happen to right now have that in, because doesn't when you do it through iTunes, doesn't it save a copy of like the installer somewhere?
No.
I'm pretty sure it does because
it doesn't.
Clean My Mac cleans those old IPS.
So the way
out.
Right.
The way it works is you download the software update.
Oh, because it's not signed.
Right. Yeah, you download the software update for your device, and then at the moment of restoring through iTunes,
and it checks the signature.
It checks.
iTunes signs the directory or the disk image for that device only, using the signing key from Apple, and I think it might even be a one time go, right? It might be a one time use. I don't
want to test this further. I think if you have that one that you installed on your device already, so if I have a copy of the iOS 8.4 that was installed on my phone, on my Mac, I think, wouldn't that already be signed?
You would think. I don't recall.
Does the signing happen
stuff
at download? No. Or at install?
It happens at install, yeah. So if you have five devices, the same device you want to update, it will use that one file. And it's not unique to that device that you used. I don't recall.
I take it that you know this better than I do because you jailbreak. I've never had to do this.
I don't jailbreak anymore, but yeah, as far as I remember, it didn't seem like there was a way that you could. I mean, these guys, if there was a way to just save the version that was installed to your phone, they would be doing that left and right, and that has not happened. So I'm guessing that either it's just too difficult to save that version that's being signed, or it's something that just happens in memory, right? I'm not sure. But yeah, so long story short, don't upgrade it if you don't want it to be updated because you can't go back.
Right, and then never restore your phone.
Never restore your phone. That's right.
Yeah, well, but you have to restore your phone all the time because it gets jacked up.
Yeah, it is a problem.
Like, that's the fix. That anytime you have something wrong with your phone, you go into Apple. But did you restore it? Did you back up and restore it?
Yeah, and they kind of force your hand, too, in certain situations. It is a bummer. I don't know why they're doing that at this point. It can't be to combat jailbreaking because nobody jailbreaks.
So this is another thing that it's to part of it, I bet, is to drive up their adoption numbers because they love to throw that figure around when they're selling the new OS.
It can't be that though. It can't just be that.
I think a lot of it's support.
I can see support.
Well, it's certainly a side benefit.
Oh, sure.
We have 80, 9% adoption rate on iOS 9. Well, of course you do.
Because you can't use anything else. Yeah.
Let's be honest. I mean, that's not a fair number to really throw around.
Well, one thing that it does do positive for consumers is if you update to the latest operating system, you're more guaranteed that the activation lock is not bypassable.
Well, and yeah, it's also good for app developers.
It's good for app developers, yeah.
You know, it does help the app ecosystem because it makes it much easier for developers to know what to target.
But it's such a forced thing. Yeah. It's just so forced.
But that's the Apple way.
It is the Apple way. Except on OS X. OS X, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, but that's only because it was that way to begin with.
Right.
You kind of can't take away stuff that you already had, or it's much harder.
Well, that's a very Apple thing to do. But okay, so I want to get away from this.
Okay.
But before we do, I just wanted to ask, have you guys noticed any slowness or a slowing down with iOS 9? Because my phone seems slower. But you guys are on shiny new iPhones with beefier insides.
I still have my 6 because I wanted to do some comparisons. Mm-hmm. No, it does not feel like my 6 is slower.
It just feels like there's more of a delay in switching and going back and forth through things. So maybe I need to restore.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. We have more to talk about. Before we get to that, though, we're going to talk about GetSynced, our sponsor this week at GetSynced.com. They are the largest Karyo cloud distributor in the world. They've been hosting Karyo Connect since 2006. And for those of you who don't know, Karyo Connect is sort of like Exchange, but it's built specifically for the Mac. GetSynced regularly wins business from Gmail, Office 365, Yahoo Mail, and the likes every day. With their fully redundant N+1 infrastructure, they have amazing white label reseller programs for VARs, MSPs, and IT consultants, and awesome personal one-to-one tech support for all of their users and admins via phone and email. They have a great bunch of people there that you can call on the phone and actually talk to them, and they like know your name at some point if you are a regular customer with them. So a little bit about Karyo Connect. They are a full groupware platform for businesses. This is for their hosted platform. They're a full groupware platform for businesses and individuals. You can share and sync email, contacts, calendars, as well as private interoffice, XMPP, instant messaging, audio and visual video chat. They are cross-platform, so it works on the Mac, Windows, Linux, iOS, Android devices, and Windows Phone. It's secure. The GetSecure hosted anti-spam and antivirus service is included with every mailbox. Most charge $3 or more per month per mailbox, but it just comes with. You get automated account configuration for iOS devices and Android devices with the Karyo Connect Sync. You can configure your mobile device using either Exchange, ActiveSync, or CalDAV, CardDAV, IMAP, which is like one of the few services that actually use the built-in iOS CalDAV stuff, which is very cool. You have access to Exchange, ActiveSync device management in the Karyo Connect client, so you can remotely wipe a lost or stolen ActiveSync device. It also includes features normally seen by Microsoft Exchange, such as public and shared folders, delegation, out of office, free busy schedules, and global address lists. You can do really cool things like reserve resources and like conference rooms and projectors, which is just so incredibly useful in large organizations. They've got robust server-side message rules, unlimited aliases and groups, the ability to create and assign tasks with due dates and reminders. You can integrate with Active Directory as well as Open Directory. Of course, it's private. You're not dealing with Google, so no ads, of course, as well. And automated daily backups for redundant systems that provide data assurance. GetSynced can restore lost email, calendars, and contacts. You can also access your email from any computer using the Karyo Connect client. And they have, for those businesses that need it, the unlimited 10-year full search and discovery archiving service for compliance needs. And you can even get Zix encryption if you want. The first 30 days of hosted Karyo Connect mailboxes are free for all iOS show listeners using the code TIOSS, T-I-O-S-S. Check them out at getsynced.com. That's G-E-T-S-Y-N-C-D.com. And so with that, let's talk about iFixit.
Poor iFixit.
So we talked last week about how they did the lovely thing of tearing down an Apple TV,
a
developer Apple TV that was free to them.
Mm-hmm.
Apple lovingly gave it to them because they have a developer account.
Well, it was $1. It wasn't free.
It was $1. Yes.
They did have to pay $1.
I'm pretty sure Apple was eating the cost of the Apple TV on that one. And I think it cost more than $1. So they tore it down and they've been banned.
Yeah.
They've been banned
This is a surprise. I knew this was not going to go well for iFixit.
Yeah. I have to ask you guys something. Did either of you guys have their app, the iFixit app, on your iOS device?
I didn't even know they had an app.
I knew they had one.
The app was awesome. The thing is, I had the app, and then after I heard the story, I went...
To your purchased?
Onto my iPad. Well, onto my iPad where I thought it was installed... Uh-huh. And it's not there anymore. But I don't know if it was because, you know, I've had to restore devices recently if I forgot to put it back on. But it's almost always on there. But sometimes I do delete it to, like, free up space.
Sure.
Because it's not an app I use all the time. I usually use it when I have to do a repair.
Yep.
But it was a great app. I mean, it was much better than going to the website, especially if you needed to have something in front of you while you're doing a repair, like a step-by-step. It was great. I'm really bummed that it's gone.
Yeah.
Because, it's definitely out of purchase. I mean, they basically deleted their developer account. Like, they revoked everything.
They just dropped a bomb on that developer account.
See, this sucks for people or for users, because if they were using the app and really liked it, like you, Adam, it's just gone.
Yeah.
For developers, because I know some people disagree with me, like Brian Chaffin, and that's okay.
Right.
But I think this is going to have a negative impact on developers. Apple is now going to be far less likely to do a similar program for developers in the future.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Apple gave developers a chance. One of them blew it for everyone, and they will do something different in the future. So instead of just saying, everyone sign up, and if we have one, we can send it to you, I think what they'll do in the future is pick who gets the hardware.
They're going to more closely vet.
Yeah, it'll be a very closely vetted process, and it may be even restricted to you come to our labs, and you can work with us here.
Yeah, I don't think it'll go that far. I think even iFixit may have even been vetted. And what I thought was disingenuous a little bit, or I don't know if that's the right term, but basically I think iFixit in their post said, well, what did they think we were going to do with it? Because we're a site that tears down stuff. Well, they're also a site that makes like an iFixit app. And it could be conceivable that Apple thought, hey, maybe they want to do a version of the iFixit app which has videos in it for Apple TV.
Which would have been a really cool thing. And I'm sure Apple also thought, okay, these are professionals. They will honor
the NDA.
The NDA.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not like they're a fly-by-night organization, and it's not like Apple wasn't familiar with what they do. I think Apple could have honestly thought, we can give you one and we can trust you. And then they broke that trust. And
peeved. You don't think that there was any sort of, I dare you to do this?
No.
Oh, no. No.
No, I think Apple really wants good apps on launch day on the Apple TV. And I do think, like, supposedly it was just a lottery, right? It was supposed to be random, I guess, or we don't really know. But speculation was it was going to be a random lottery. I don't think it was at all random. I think Apple looked at least at some level which developers they were sending devices to.
Well, I could be totally
wrong on that, but
what do you think they did with the YouTube kiddies who just unboxed this thing or just talked about it?
I could never figure out. That whole scenario was really weird because
not just the guy who we saw it like the day after. I mean, that was completely weird. He must have a homie at Apple.
Yeah. So behind the scenes, there's some people that are getting spanked and by spanked.
I think that's Apple losing their jobs. I think that's controlled leaking through weird sources that Apple thinks it can't get back to them. I think the one woman who got the iPhone, you know, like days early here in San Diego. Yeah. I think this is Apple marketing sneaking stuff out to like random people. Cause it's like, oh, who would believe that Apple marketing, you know, gave this guy an Apple TV?
Yeah.
He was probably like randomly picked out somehow. I don't know why him, cause he didn't even have that many YouTube followers, but maybe that's exactly the point. You know, maybe that's the how they pick it. They go, well, this guy's doing videos. They're fairly decent. And
they know that once they have the real deal, they're going to blow up. It's not an issue of picking someone who has too few viewers, right?
Exactly right. Yeah. It's going to go viral and go massive.
Right away.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's conspiracy theory Apple stuff, but
this
I think
is fun.
It's kind of
Yeah,
happening.
Do you think that Arne secretly works for Kim? You think he secretly works for Apple?
No, he's too high profile. That's what I'm saying. It's like their newest tactic is sort of picking these weird outlets that like nobody's going to think it's Apple behind the scenes. Like no one would draw those connections. Except me, I guess. No, I think there's other people saying similar stuff, but it's just too weird. I mean, and that stuff doesn't happen. Like, random YouTube guy, I think even if he... I mean, unless he's, like, Tim Cook's, like, brother's kid or something like that. Like, he's not going to get an Apple TV.
Yeah.
The day Apple announces it.
It's too weird. It's fun. Okay. Amazon has decided because these platforms don't have the Amazon app on them, we're just going to have to remove them from Amazon's store. So they're getting rid of both the Chromecast and the Apple TV. They're no longer selling it on Amazon.com because there's just not an app for viewing Amazon Prime Video.
Is Apple preventing them from doing an app on the Apple TV?
You know,
this is the part I didn't get.
I don't think there are.
There is a developer program that they can sign up for. I'm sure, you know, they can like look under the couch cushions and find $100.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. But okay. So if it was just Apple, I would maybe put on my tinfoil hat and say, maybe it's Apple not allowing this,
but because it's also Chromecast,
Google doesn't give a crap.
They could write a Chromecast app. I'm sure just fine. Right.
No problem. Yeah.
And it's not Apple that ultimately writes that app for Apple TV. It would be Amazon's people working in conjunction with Apple.
They already have an app for iOS. How hard could it be?
Right.
This is pure, hey, we don't want to sell your stuff.
This is some anti-competitive behavior.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know if it's anti-competitive.
It's not necessarily anti-competitive. But I think anti-competitiveness comes into this indirectly because the Department of Justice, you know, when they sued Apple over the ebook thing, the federal courts basically told Google or Amazon, you can do as you please. So they don't have monopoly control in this market.
Right.
But because they have monopoly control in another market and the government gave them a tacit green light, they feel that they are safe to do things like this without fear of repercussion. Now, it's not anti-competitive. And they're totally free to decide what they do and don't sell in their own stores.
Right.
Just like any retailer. But this is still bad form. And I think this is Amazon thinking, well, you know, we can do whatever we want. So we might as well just go ahead and do what we really want, which is push people to our platforms and away from everyone else's. This isn't about selling hardware at all. This is about pushing people into the Amazon ecosystem, which Apple TV and Chromecast do not do. Amazon could give away Fire tablets and Fire sticks all day long, and it wouldn't matter. They sell them because then it creates a perceived value, but they could just give that stuff away. It doesn't matter. Those are all just tools to draw us into the Amazon ecosystem.
Does the Fire Stick have Alexa, or is it just the Fire TV? I think it's just the Fire
TV. The Fire TV.
There is a Fire Stick with voice control now.
Oh, there is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can get two versions, one with and one without.
Is that the same as Alexa? What's the difference then?
I'm not sure if it's the same as Alexa or if it's just some sort of voice control.
The difference between Siri and the voice control that we had before on iOS.
Yeah, it may just be that. I don't know.
Yeah, because so it's $50 for the voice remote Fire Stick and then $100 for the Fire TV box. Oh, and you can get a gaming edition for $140. Which reminds me, it's been discovered with the Apple TV, the new Apple TV, it will only support two Bluetooth controllers. Two additional, other than the Siri remote. Big deal?
So you can have up to three controllers, or the Siri remote and one other controller?
Siri remote and two controllers.
Okay.
That's weird. That's just weird. I don't know that it matters that much.
Well, but if they're looking at more casual gaming, it may not matter.
Yeah. Three is a weird number, though. Why three and not four?
So you can have a remote and two dedicated game controllers.
Is it?
That would be my guess.
Is it? Yeah, it's probably the two dedicated game controllers is the primary push for that three total.
So it's like head-to-head with a game controller.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, this doesn't seem like a big deal to me. I don't feel slighted or any less interested in the new Apple TV.
Well, what's going to be interesting is if developers will have the ability. I'm curious if developers will have the ability for like online games or network games to go cross-platform, meaning like you have your buddies over and you're playing a first-person shooter and they're on their iPads and, you know, two people are on iPads and two people are on the Apple TV.
Yeah.
In like a split screen or something like that.
I don't think so. But it does. The limitation does not extend to iPhones used as controllers. So
you can use like four iPhones.
You could use four iPhones, yeah. So, I mean, in many ways, you could say what's more likely that your friends are going to come over with their MFI controllers or they're going to come over with their iPhones.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. Yep. Okay, there you go. That makes sense.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not a console. I'm not buying this thing because it's a console. I'm buying it because it's a sweet media player. And maybe I'll play Hoppy Road every once in a while, too.
Hoppy Road.
Put the Lego games on there. I'll buy the crap out of those.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? Oh, and I guess the last somewhat story is that there's Google Maps for Apple Watch now. Which I guess is really nice for people who prefer Google Maps. Mm-hmm. I have not used it. It's there, though, for people who want to use it.
I use Google Maps from time to time, mainly because Apple Maps is sometimes stupid.
Yeah. You know, I gave up on Google Maps because I was getting wrong results more often there than I was in Apple Maps.
Huh.
Yeah, my main thing is every once in a while there will be something that Apple Maps just can't find that I know exists. And then I go into Google Maps and it's like, oh, so it's like my backup map. And we're talking like 0.1% of the time.
Yeah. And I mean, in those situations, I just drop a pin and say, take me to the pin.
True.
So I don't know. And it's just nicer to have the integration of Siri and all that stuff. But yeah, so it's there for those who want it.
I've been impressed with Google Maps in the past.
Google Maps
voices, turn by turn voices, I think better.
They also have
better than Siri.
They have Lane Assist as well in Google Maps,
Yeah,
that's which, nice too.
Okay, that's cool.
They yeah, really they, should be bringing that to Apple Maps. But
and the other thing, can we get on Apple Maps is the rerouting. That's another thing that's in Google Maps that's great.
Oh, it doesn't.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
oh,
Apple Maps doesn't let you do it manually. They'll suggest two or three routes sometimes.
Oh, for
but Google
for
has that great feature where you can be like, no, that way's stupid. I want to go this way, and you can sort of pull the line, and it'll reroute.
Oh, before you start moving?
I have found that
before you start,
iPhone,
yeah,
to be not reliable.
Which one? Google Maps?
Google Maps letting you manually change part of the route.
Ah.
But it's still a nice feature. I mean,
it is.
If Apple would implement it and it worked, that would be great. It's just, there have been times when we've wanted to do that where it's like, okay, I get that that's the freeway route, but we know this little back part of it, you know, that cuts a corner off or something like that, and we want to go there for that part of the trip.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or, and you can't kind of tell it, so the way I get around that is I just,
you just
at
do
that
it.
Point, ignore the directions, and then eventually it reroutes to the right point.
Yeah, but, I mean, in a lot of ways, I like the, I'm in favor of the just use your brain method.
Yeah. But cool, Google Maps on iOS.
Okay, yeah.
Doesn't hurt.
Yep, okay. So then, unless you guys have anything else to talk about, did I miss anything? Anything else you guys wanted to talk about? We're going to go to our iDevice picks. So, Jeff,
so
do you want to go?
Picks.
You want to go first, Jeff?
Sure. I was actually really torn this week on what to go with.
Okay.
So I decided to go with the thing that I knew Adam wouldn't be picking.
Okay.
So that Adam, you don't have to worry about trying to scramble to find something else.
I have a backup for mine.
I didn't have any big pick this week anyway, so.
Oh, all right. Well, then I can hand off my other pick to you if you want. Mm-hmm. All right. So my pick, it's actually a Mac app.
Okay.
But it's designed to be used with your iPhone. And it's called Trip Mode. And it's an $8 app. And what it does is it acts sort of like a dynamic firewall so that when you tether to your iPhone from your laptop for internet access, it shuts off it blocks the services that are likely to suck down too much data.
Ooh.
and screw up your bandwidth caps.
Oh, that's nice.
And you can control on the fly what is allowed through or not, and it knows when you've switched tethering, so it just automatically kicks in and starts doing its thing, and it's like drop dead simple to set up. And it gives you a little menu bar item, so you can enable or disable what you want, and once it's there, it just works, and it's really cool, and it's only $7.99.
That's really cool.
Trip Mode.
Awesome! I like it. I've been wanting that. I have wanted that feature. So cool. All right.
What was your other pick? Because I'm probably not picking
that.
Well,
don't tell him I might have that pick.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, then we'll just hold my other one till the end.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be a secret.
It'll be a surprise.
Yeah. Okay. Adam, what's your pick?
I am going to pick the RSS reader that I use on my iPhone, and I'm now probably going to switch over to it for my iPad. So on my iPad, I've been using Mr. Reader, which is a great RSS reading app. But on my iPhone, I had been using one. I think I was doing this because Mr. Reader didn't really have a good iPhone interface or didn't do iPhone at all. I don't remember. But on my iPhone, I use an app called Newsify. And one of the reasons I'm picking Newsify this week is because, well, one, it's a great news reader. It has kind of two modes. If you prefer the, like, kind of newspapery, you know, like grid kind of mode, a la something like Flipboard or the Apple News app.
Mm-hmm.
You can get that view in there. You can also toggle that over to what I prefer, which is more of like a list view. It has a couple different themes and things like that. I believe the app is free with ads, and then you can pay in-app purchase to remove the ads, like $2.99 or something like that. I don't remember.
Yes. $3 to remove the ads. And then what does the premium do?
The premium is like a subscription thing. I don't do that. I haven't really looked into that. It does syncing with Feedly, so I just use Feedly for like syncing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons I am actually picking it this week is it came back into my mind because Federico Vici over at Mac Stories did a little article about it, because it now apparently supports a feature in iOS 9. I think it's something that became available with iOS 9 that not many apps support, which is you can set it up so that when you click a link to go to like the web page, the web view for an article, it will automatically turn on the Safari reader view.
Oh.
For you. So rather than throwing up just the web page, it goes to the web page and then immediately flips on the reader view, which I kind of feel like reader, I've been using it more and more, especially on my iOS devices when surfing the web. I think it's one of the underappreciated features of Safari.
Oh, yeah, I love
that. I really like it a lot. And that's, you know, if you look up in your URL bar, you'll see like three little lines. You tap on that and that turns on the reader mode, which is basically a distraction-free, you know, sidebar ad-free view of the content that's on a page. And this is Jeff on Apple Context Machine. I was on filling in for you this time around, and I had this argument with Brian because I thought it was kind of a nice intermediate way of not using an ad blocker, but still kind of getting that experience. So it's like don't put your ad blocker on. You know, go to the web page, the ads will load, you'll see them for a second, and then you tap on the reader view, and now you can have that kind of clean, distraction-free view, yet you're still supporting the site that you're going to.
It seems reasonable to me.
So I think that's a nice compromise. But getting back to Newsify, so Newsify has this feature, and unfortunately I don't have my iPad in front of me, and I had recently reset my iPhone, so I'm not logged in. But to turn it on, you go into settings. Oh, actually, I got it up now. And under the article browser options, you can set it up so that when you click on the web view option, that you have it, one, open in Safari, and then you go to the Safari open action, and they have a option that is open Safari in app, but in reader view. So I really like that feature because I've been using Reader more and more. And it tends to do, I think, a little bit better job than even, you know, Readability or Instapaper. Sometimes those choke on some sites, and I've had better luck with the just built-in reader view in Safari. So this makes Newsify kind of my top iOS news reader app now, I think.
Cool.
That's my pick.
Nice. All right. So I'll just go with my first pick because it's easy. It's a new Tweetbot.
Ooh. Tweetbot 4.
It's $5, $4.99, and I think the biggest feature is that it's universal, which means the iPad app is finally updated.
Yes,
and it supports.
I was 2 seconds away from dumping them.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought the
iPad thing.
I thought the iPad app worked just fine, though.
It was missing some of the newer features.
Okay, but yeah. So it's now...
It was...
Of Twitter, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
I don't think it was supporting some of the new quoting stuff. I don't remember all the features, but there were some specific features. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the big new features on iPad is that it supports... Split view.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Landscape support has been added to iPhone, which is nice. That's very important. They have a new column view in landscape on iPad and iPhone 6 Plus. So any of you with the bigger iPhone, you get columns, extra columns, which is probably the one other app that I've come across that actually supports additional stuff on the Plus, the thing that Adam was hoping for when he first.
Another reason why I don't miss my iPhone 6S
because nothing was
Plus.
Yeah, nothing was optimized for that.
No developers ever took advantage of it.
Yeah,
it would have been great if they had. I think it would be a much better things. So it's good to see that Tapbots is doing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You get quick reply from notifications. And I guess it supports content blockers too. But just in general.
Stats.
Oh, yeah, you get the stats. Yeah, right, you get your little stats thingy that tells That's you pretty cool. how many faves or retweets or followers you've gotten recently and all that stuff. So if you're super narcissistic.
Well, and also I like the activity stuff because I always see my notifications go by like so-and-so retweeted or faved this.
Yeah.
And I miss that activity. So now you can go in and you can review that. So I'm like, oh, who was doing that? Or who yep. favorited that? Or who retweeted that?
Yep. So now it's there. And yeah, it's beautiful. $5. So, you know, if you bought it a couple years ago, and you're thinking, why don't I get an update for free? Well, I mean, you got a latte from Starbucks last year. Why would you have to pay? Why would you have to pay for another latte?
When you buy a car new, they don't give you a new model 3 years later.
Yeah, a Volkswagen might.
Well, that's different.
Yeah, but I mean, it's $5. It will go up to 10, I believe. So get it now. Get it now if you're going to get it. So with that, you were going to say something, Adam?
I was going to say, I think I need to look it up because I need to get my facts straight. But I think I noticed this week that Samsung was getting in trouble for like energy efficiency things with their batteries.
Oh.
But in a similar sort of thing where like, it would detect when like testing software would be running and it would like adjust the settings.
I'm
convinced so that sort of thing is going on in all kinds of industries. But let's not
but
open that.
But they're saying it wasn't nefarious, that it was just because how the battery tests are running, it's forcing it into low power mode. So I think there's some back and forth on that. But
well, okay. Yeah, let's not get there. So yeah, with that, you can find the picks and the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes or rate the show and tell a friend if you know somebody who'd enjoy the show. Feedback at theiosshow.com is the email address to which you can send your feedback and questions and comments and all that good stuff. And we also have comment threads on every episode on theiosshow.com, and people use that and I respond there. Of course, our sponsor this week, getsynced.com, getsynced.com, with the coupon code TIOS for a free 30 days of GetSynced. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen is at the Matcast, matcast.com, Matcast on Twitter, and Matcast everywhere else, probably.
Yep. Pretty much, yep.
Cool, thanks for being here, as always. Yeah. And Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, the TMO Daily Observations podcast, which you must check out, and at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
It's always awesome.
I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitters, and that's it. We'll see you next time on The iOS Show.
Internet. How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No.
Yuck.
No. Who wants a stylus? They have to get them.